Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat.
Hello.
We're going to go and continue the testimony of Naeem, a Muslim whose brother found Christ. And when we left you off, he was in his room, and suddenly a dark thing came in his room. As a matter of fact, in his entirety, you're going to hear the whole testimony in his entirety. You've got to hear this. Listen, let the Muslims know that God loves them and God has a plan for their life. Let them know. He explains it in detail where he was. Also, we'll be talking about created for a purpose. We are created for a purpose. Power, peace, and destiny in God. We have to wake up. This life's a vapor. We got to be able to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and how to survive it. Created for purpose and a destiny. We'll give a shout out this morning to South Florida. Hola. Give a shout out to all of our new listeners around the world. We're glad to see you coming on from around the world out there. Join us and our audience one way through the Facebook. Don't forget, you go to facebook.com/VFNTV or just go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook and it takes you right there. And you can subscribe to a newsletter upper right-hand corner. Be informed daily, weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly about broadcast and what's taking place. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, VFN Radio. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the Extra Hour is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Man, is that something, Naeem's testimony?
That's powerful.
It's just so, so powerful. And, you know, we were just talking about at the end of the first hour about you're seeing this huge migration. You're watching a lot of, you got to see things the way God sees things. Understand this, and we're always searching for his perspective and how he sees things because we know in part and prophesy in part, but at least begin to try to seek out his viewpoint, which you can find in his word. That's, you first have to understand who God loves, and if you haven't listened to Who Does God Love, you got to listen to it and go to the VFNTV.com and click on the torch and just type in Who Does God Love, and you'll be really surprised. First of all, he loves you. And he loves whoever them is to you, too. Mm-hmm. And but listen to it. It'll just stir your heart. I mean, I listen to that broadcast, and it just stirs my heart. It's like, that's right. And so then when people who presently seem to be Jesus haters, for example, that are coming to persecute the church, I don't know, like Saul. And you need to have faith to understand that the only reason God is allowing Saul to get close to you is so you can witness to him and that he can get saved. Mm-hmm. Because that's what happened to Saul. I mean, here's Saul going to persecute the church, you know, and you can hunker down and go, oh, the church's going to be persecuted. Or you can be like Stephen and say, listen, I've seen the face of God. And he began to preach the gospel to the very man that was having him stoned in front of him. As a matter of fact, when you hear about Damascus today in Syria, that Paul, or which is his former name was Saul, was going to Damascus to go with a letter from the church or the temple, the leaders, that to go persecute these Christians up in Damascus and to imprison them and straighten them out. Mm-hmm. And but on the way to to Damascus, he encounters the one who he was about to persecute. God shows up in such a powerful way. Today, you're looking at Syria, you're looking at, you know, a radical Islam, you're looking at all these things take place in the Middle East. Don't forget that God loves the Muslim. Don't forget that. You're not gonna argue somebody or angry somebody or offend somebody, right? You just got to let them know that God loves them and share with them, like Naeem, what we're about to talk about and been talking about. But he's on his way to Damascus, and all of a sudden, God just shows up in such a powerful way that his glory manifests, and it's so bright that it just blinds him, and he falls off his donkey. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like a persecutor on a donkey, just really, it's hard, but it's true. I mean, that's what's going on.
That's how they did it.
And all of a sudden, he hears this voice that says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you persecuting me?" And he's like, "Lord, Lord," you know? And so, so that encounter, you have to understand that when somebody lays hands on you, they're laying hands on Jesus. When somebody blesses you, they're blessing Jesus. When somebody curses you, they're cursing Jesus. That's what we talked about. We're going to have really soon, and we talked about it in the first hour. We're not going to have a chance to talk about it, obviously, today. But murderer, you know, murderer, love's not an option is what we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. Because being angry with your brother, calling your brother a fool, hating your brother is puts you in a very bad place at the judgment seat. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking more about that. And God's love. And look how Jesus, what he did. He entrusted himself to him and judges justly. So if God can touch Saul, who had already stoned Stephen, had already done all these things, you know, in a zealousness for he thought was God, he thought he was doing a service to God and he was killing folks. And understand that somebody who truly is a loyal Muslim, they believe that what they're doing is for God, just like Saul believed what he was doing was for God. But in that zealousness, of course, he is a Jew. He was a Jew in regards to that. But in their heart, they're thinking, they just don't realize that that's not God's desire and that's not what God wants. They haven't yet met God. And they can through his son, Jesus Christ. And so on that road to persecute the church, which means this, it doesn't matter who's coming into your nation, what's going on. Don't clamp down your jaw. Fill your heart full with the love of God and the testimony of God. Get in the Word of God. Hear things like VFN Radio. Share things like VFN Radio and VFN TV. And let them know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life, because God converted Saul on the road to persecute the church and changed his name to Paul and sent him to a place blind and then sent a Christian to him to pray for him where he could see again. Then God prepared him. And he wrote one half or one-third?
Yeah, over half
of, the New Testament. Almost approximately one half of the New Testament. And in that, understand, prior to him doing this, was he was a persecutor of the church. Mm-hmm. And of course, God told him, he says, "Listen, get up. I've got to show you some things you must suffer for me. Things you need to go through, you're going to have to go through for me." And he's willing to go through it. And so I want you to think about, when you're thinking about this migration of Islam and how you're seeing people that follow Islam spread throughout the nation. This is a perfect time. This is a perfect time on their journeys to let them know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. And that as a matter of fact, listen to Zayim's testimony right here as he shares about in full how he met God, a former Muslim.
We grew up Sunni Muslims, and so we weren't radical or extremist by any means, but we were definitely conservative. We would fast during the month of Ramadan. Friday prayers were normal. My sisters would cover up.
Naeem Fazl lived in Kuwait, and he studied the Quran diligently.
We grew up learning and memorizing, actually, the Quran. I can recite passages of the Quran because there was a value in memorizing the Islamic scriptures.
While his life was grounded in the Muslim faith, a chain of events took place that set Naeem on a new spiritual journey. His older brother had an opportunity to study in the United States.
He came here, and a year later he came back and he was different. And I knew something was up. And that's when he actually told us that he was a Christian. I remember that day because I threatened to kill him.
Even though Naeem resented his brother's change of heart, he decided to visit him in America.
I hopped on a plane and came to the U.S., and that's when I got confronted with Christianity.
3 weeks after arriving in the U.S., he went to see a movie with his brother. It was a Christian film.
Here I was confronted with this whole new concept or whole new religion, but it was more than a religion, you know. And in that movie, I realized that maybe there's something else out there.
Naeem was confused and began to question his Muslim faith.
So I remember just kind of praying, and I wouldn't even call it a prayer. It was just more of a, I don't know who's up there, if you're real, show me. After that, I had another conversation with my brother. He told me that this God who came down in the form of his son, Jesus, would pursue me and do whatever it takes to have a relationship with me. I remember making fun of him, and I said, well, you know, will he just come down if I just ask him? And my brother said, yes, if you would ask him, he'll come down. And I remember at that point, I went, this is ridiculous. But in my head, I was thinking, you know what? If this is true, then why don't you reveal yourself?
That night when he was going to sleep, he sensed what he describes as an evil presence filling his bedroom.
The door opened, and I looked up, and the room started to look really strange, more like death. I mean, what walked in was this demon, this thing that I couldn't even explain. So this thing starts walking towards me and somehow communicates that it's going to kill me. And it stopped right on my bed and just disappeared.
He ran down the hall to his brother's room.
He said, you know, the only person that I know has power over demons and angels is Jesus.
Naeem returned to his room.
I said, Jesus, I don't know who you are. I can't call you the Lord of my life. I can't call you, you know, Savior. I can't call you any of these things. Because at this moment, I'm afraid, I'm scared, I need help. But if you will help me, then I will give you my whole life. The next moment, I found myself sitting on my bed with my eyes open, staring into this presence. I can't even explain it. It was the presence of Jesus. I knew it was Jesus. This peace was so aggressive. It invaded every single thing, every part of me, and I felt like it communicated to me saying, your life is not your own, and I believed it.
He finally understood all that his brother was trying to tell him.
I wanted to do everything possible, so I think the first month or so, I must have prayed the sinner's prayer or accepted Jesus or said the prayer like about 8 or 9 times. Because I just wanted to do it. I just want to make sure.
When he was a Muslim, he learned the Quran and knew a lot about Allah, but didn't have a relationship with him.
It makes total sense now. It only makes sense that God would come in to us in the form of a man, a human, and to be able to relate to us, but also to redeem us, and to have a relationship with us.
In the years that followed, Naeem ministered to college students and met his wife, Ashley. They now have 2 beautiful children, Asher and Noura. Naeem challenges those in the Muslim faith to make a specific prayer if they really want to have a relationship with God.
When Muslims talk with me and we talk about our differences and why I converted, you know, my challenge to them is this. I said, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you consistently, for a period of time, maybe take 2 weeks or so, and just sincerely seek this God, this just Jesus. He's able to take a person, radically transform them, and give them a purpose beyond their imagination. Because that's exactly what God did to me. God wants a relationship with them more than they do. And so God's going to pursue them. And all they need to do is just ask.
Powerful, such a powerful, powerful testimony coming from CB. And you can actually see this on the Torch at vfntv.com and click on the Torch. This is what we're called to do. So it's actually a positive thing. When you start seeing Saul start coming your direction, realize, prepare yourself to be able to be a deliverer of the love of God.
Wow.
And you think about Stephen, you know, and Stephen was stoned to death and, you know, they laid his coat at Saul's feet as he was being stoned. He was only days away, hours away from meeting this God who Stephen saw the face of. And you have to understand, it's not that you do forever, because you don't live forever on this earth. You live forever in the presence of God. It's appointed once to die and then the judgment. The thing is, are we faithful in our generation? Do we do at the moment God has positioned us, because he orchestrates our life, as Acts chapter 17 says, and picks the day and the place and the time that we would live. And everything is Father filtered, that if that's you standing before a persecutor, before a Saul, you know, are you going to deliver the love of God to them? or you're going to deliver religion. And Stephen delivered, just he literally went through the whole, and you can listen to that, read that one particular chapter in Acts, and he covers the entire Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And his last message was the full Word of God. And that should be our message, the full Word of God. But in that, he was he was about to die. He was about to be in the presence of God. And he was looking at the face of God. God, it's such an awesome moment of love, obviously, between God and Stephen, because they were surrounding him, trying to get him to renounce probably, you know, what he believed in. And God was so moved by that, that God showed him his face. I mean, how many people on the earth has walked on the earth and saw the face of God? And you can name them, you know, Enoch, Moses, and Jesus. And so it was like he was looking on the face of God, just this glory of God was on his face. And then he fell dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he was smiling while it was happening.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been hit by a rock before, but being stoned.
Hit by a tree once.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just, you know, and to be able to smile. I mean, Jesus was being nailed to the cross, and he says, hold not this sin against them. Forgive them, they know not what they do. And, you know, God, give us a grace to just be that witness at that moment. I think about the Columbine shooting with the young girl who was in the library, and he pointed the gun at her head and said, you know, do you know Jesus?
Right.
Whatever. And she just openly professed, yes, I do know Jesus. And he shot
knew what it cost.
That was like a Stephen encounter. It was a moment for her and God, that she is one of the precious martyrs who stood before God. But understand this. Now look beyond Stephen's death. Because he witnessed, because there was the word that does not return void was launched into the heart and the mind of this persecutor named Saul. He had to contend with it. And it was such a powerful message that the face of God that Stephen was seeing, that Saul was going to see it in a moment on his way to persecute more of the church. And God shows up in such a powerful way that the word in him confronted the word in his face. And in that convergence, he was confronted with Jesus is Lord.
Right.
He said, Lord, Lord, you know, and in that he began to say, you're persecuting me. That was me. That wasn't Stephen. That was me that you've done. You're fixing to go lock up and hurt people over here in Damascus. That's me. And because Stephen was faithful to do this, Jesus met Saul, this man named Saul, and he was willing to suffer anything. Even he ran to the chopping blocks. He was willing to be shipwrecked. He was willing to be bound and put in prison. I mean, he wrote right at 50% of the New Testament, letters from prison talking about freedom in God and being blessed in God and prosperity in God. But he's writing those from prisons. Those are the epistles written in prisons. I mean, this is a powerful thing. Why? Because Stephen understood what we need to understand in our life, that we're not called for this life alone, but we're called for the life beyond this. Don't live just for this life. Just like in marriage, when in 1 Corinthians chapter 17, when Paul is writing to the church, he's saying, listen, you know, if you are married, live like you're not, because time is short.
Mm-hmm.
Don't live like you're trying to live forever in this life. It's going to end. It could end tomorrow. It could end today. Be ready to go. Make Jesus the Lord of your life, but don't waste this opportunity to be somebody like Stephen, or to be somebody like Saul, who got transformed to Paul, and he became a great apostle, a witness for God, and began to raise up spiritual sons and did this awesome work for God. But what happened was the word in him, sown by Stephen, confronted him on the way to Damascus, and now this persecutor became a promulgator and began to advance the kingdom of God. So Stephen's ministry, though he died and went into the presence of God, still lived on through the one who stoned him.
Mm-hmm.
Through the one who stoned him. Think about it.
Amazing.
Until you're willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you. You're not ready, right?
Working on it.
And so in the context of that, I mean, think about it. Stephen's ministry went on. It transferred, the anointing transferred from Stephen to Saul. That's powerful.
Wow.
And so while he is in the presence of God as a martyr, I mean, one of the highest positions in heaven,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, for us, that his ministry continued on through his persecutor, who became a persecutor of Satan's church. He loved the Jews so much, he was willing to give anything for them, but he was called to the Gentiles. We're thankful today for Stephen's willingness to not be intimidated by those that were coming his way with a goal to persecute him. He still stood up. He still stayed a witness. He still stayed bold for God. And even though it cost him his life on here, on the earth, it did not cost him eventity, because he instantly was with the Lord. To be absent for the body is to be present with God. It's time to stand up and be a bold witness for God. And the Naims out there, they're going to find God, and they'll be just like Saul's, just like Paul.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Can a Christian outreach group receive funding from the government? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is about faith-based funds. I'm looking and praying about getting a building to provide for people that are interested in Bible studies and getting together with their families and friends for just local Bible studies. And I was wondering if I would qualify for any of these faith-based funding.
Probably not, unless that facility was also going to be utilized for reaching the needs in the community with regard to the homeless, with regard to people that are in need of food, shelter, those kind of things. That's the general programs, rehabilitation programs from drug abuse, substance abuse. That's generally what these programs are for, battered women programs, abused women, those kind of things. If you have that facility used for that process, as well as Bible study, that's fine. And then you would perhaps qualify for the Faith-Based Initiative program.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, it's so important, Pat, you may have a desire in your heart that you want to go deeper in God. Mm-hmm. And, you may not see a way to do that, or you may be looking at a way that seems a lot different than you feel that you're called to in your heart. It's just really, you know, when you want to know the way of God. You want to know what he wants. He's called us to do three very simple things. Mm-hmm. You know, the great commandment is to love God, right?
Right.
Love our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
And love our neighbor as ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the great commission is to lead other people to love God.
Right. Right.
Which is love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. You know, that is so important, that you need to be trained up, you know, to be discipled in God and just the basic discipleship. But once you get to that point and you're ready, you feel like you're called and you want to go into the Great Commission and everybody's called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, think about VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. You know, it begins to change the mindsets of the world and the mindsets of religion, because you have to be empowered by God, endued by his spirit to be able to go out and be witnesses for him.
Right.
And you know, I mean, VFNU is just so, I mean, I don't know. All we know is that God is blessing it. It's a revelation mm-hmm. from the Lord. I mean, every time that you go in, you're thinking, my goodness, it can't get any deeper than that, or it can't get any and the next wave of revelation that comes. And what it is, it's like precept upon precept. And by the time you come through VFNU, if you properly went through VFNU as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out, I am ready to obey God. I can see clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so if that's you, if you want to be trained up for the harvest field, maybe you're called to do, for a church plant, that there's something inside of you, you've been wanting to plant a church for some time. And just like Peter Wagner recently said on VFN Radio and Steve Hill, that the hope for turning a country around or a nation around or America around is a rapid church planting movement. Well, we're looking for you.
Right.
We want to partner with you. We want to encourage you. You need to come and check out VFNU.org, Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org, and maybe that's for you. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat. We want to get right into purpose. You're created for purpose. A destiny in God. And we're going to talk about three things: peace, power, and purpose. And we're going to join with me as I was sharing sharing at a particular night about created for a purpose. Listen up.
I don't know what it is, but it just seems to be rapidly moving. And so you got to have peace. The very first thing, you got to have peace. Listen, if you got purpose, and you got power. First of all, peace is that inner peace that you need, that you're calm no matter what. Power is strength. You need to have energy. So often the church has put aside energy. You know, I'm just going to lollydaw my way. No, it takes energy. Ministry is hard. Ministry takes a lot of effort to move in your purpose. It takes sweat. It takes diligence. It takes, and everybody misses the idea, even of ministry, where when they went into the tabernacle and the Levitical priesthood, most of the time we're doing physical things, you know, cutting wood, setting fires, cleaning out the stuff, cutting necks, pulling skin, draining blood. I mean, it was just physical labor, and it wasn't just one area at one time when the glory of God would manifest at that particular point. And some people say, well, just let me know when, you know, Jehovah shows up, his presence is manifested, then I'll come. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why the harvest is plentiful and the workers are what? Few. And so the first thing is peace. You got to have peace before you start your day. This is a daily thing. Don't ever start your day without peace, because it's going to be a basket case. I don't care how defined your purpose is. I don't care how much power you got. If you don't have peace, it's going to be pathetic. Probably by 9 o'clock, you're going to wish you could crawl back in bed and wish it never started. But there's something about peace. What does that mean? That means you got to get with God. He says that daily, he says, give us our daily bread. That's not like the natural bread. That's actually bread of God's presence. Just talking to him. Communing with God. Meditating on the Word of God. Just meditating. Don't force you. I got to read 7.2 chapters. Just read a word and meditate on it. Listen to what God's saying. Take the pressure off. That's religious work. And then he says in Hebrews 4:14, he says, we are to approach him. And if we're praying daily, then we're supposed to approach him daily with boldness. Every single day we need grace and we need mercy. Well, you know, he says that we can approach God in our time of need in Hebrews 4:14-15. Listen, if you're really in tune with your purpose is always bigger than you are, which relates you to the mercy and grace of God. Somebody asked me, says, how in the world could you ever jump out of a plane at 10,000 feet? You don't understand. Everything I do in ministry is just like that. It's not a big deal. It's exactly what it feels like. Every time I say to a city that this is about to happen, you got to understand, it's only a spoken word. Nothing's manifested yet. Our budget was always zero every time we say that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not running up to you and saying, let's go for it. It literally is just like that to me. And if you want to begin to move in your purpose, you're going to have peace no matter what you face. No matter what you face. And aren't you so tired of fear holding you back? Still in your peace? All the enemy's got to do is just stir a little fire up in your life, and next thing you know, you're pacing the floor, biting your fingernails and your toenails and calling somebody else to bite theirs because you ain't got nothing left. I'm telling you, it's just time. You know, it really is so sad, because when you read about the vision of Rick Joyner in the book Final Quest, which is part 3 is out now, I understand. And he said it just took a couple soldiers of fear, demonic soldiers of fear, to hold back thousands of believers. And when you're on the front lines, we were talking today about Elijah and how, you know, Elijah said, I'm the only prophet, but he said he had 300 of them, 150 put in this cave and 150 put in that cave. But the truth was, they was in a cave. I'm with you, brother. Yeah, but you're not out here fighting with me. You're not on the front line. You know what I mean? So he was alone. They was in a cave. And so when you start stepping out in your purpose, because it's bigger than you, it will feel like you're jumping out of a plane, skydiving at 10,000 feet every single time. Every day, every decision, everything that you make, because it doesn't make any sense in your own mind what you're doing. It's totally illogical. If you thought about it for a second, you'd quit. But you got to have peace to do that. Aren't you tired of fear? I mean, I got a message just some time back that I talked about fear. Yeah, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it just grabbing believers. I'm tired of it even whispering in my ear. I'm just tired of it. It's time for us to believe. It's all it is. If fear is the opposite of faith. Oh, I don't have any fear. I just dread. Dread is the definition of fear. That is fear. Dreading tomorrow, regretting yesterday. That's just living in constant fear. If you have that inner peace, I'm telling you how to fulfill your destiny, your purpose in life. If you have that inner peace, you'll do anything. It doesn't matter, because nothing on the outside is going to change you. It's not going to change you. You're not worried about man's opinion or anything. You're just doing because God's called you to do something. Actually, so every single day, the first thing you have to do is a building block for that day. Before you start anything, people said, you know, read a couple scriptures before you start your day. No, I'm telling you this. You stay with God till you get peace. Because you're going to need peace for your purpose. Or you can go out, what most people do, and be like a shotgun shooting off anywhere with no aim at all. Now, if you'll spend your time aiming, you may get one or two shots off that day, but you're going to hit your target. Most people just shoot anywhere. Aren't you tired of all that? I get around people that are so hectic, like, oh, it's like, I got to go, that spirit, I got to go. That hecticness, you know, that real, I can feel it. It's like almost like a vibrating, you know, whatever, I don't know. It's like, get peace in your life. You got to have peace in your life, amen? So the very first thing on your foundation, this is very simple, very important, that somebody says, well, how long do you spend with God? Until you get peace. Until you get peace. But listen, if you show up to work with attitude like that, you ain't going to have work. But my job, you ain't going to have a job if you show up with that kind of spirit on you. You need to get with God and change your mindsets and realize that you got God's with you no matter what happens out there. Well, I got to go spend some time with my family. Listen, your family probably don't want to even see you until you get some peace in your life. I'm telling you, it's amazing. If you'll just get peace in your life before you go spend time with your family, that's one of your purposes in your life, then it's amazing how they enjoy being with you. So the very first thing is that before you start your day, get peace. Get that inner peace, that settling, that calmness in your spirit. Because the second you step out of that, wherever you are, something's going to hit you, bam, like that. The second thing you got to have is power. I've never seen it so unemphasized in the church before. People say, well, you know, exercise profited very little. But let me tell you something. When you're out there and you're working hard in your purpose, maybe you're a business person or in the ministry, it takes physical exertion to bring that thing to pass. I mean, it takes a tenacity and a willingness to be able to sit there or stand there or whatever it is. It just takes a lot of energy, physical exertion to be able to do that. And there's nothing like physical stress on the body in regards to the anointing. When the anointing drops on you, it's like your body, the Lord just takes over your body, and it just, so my body doesn't normally do this. So when the anointing goes, if you're not physically fit for that anointing, it could crush you. Many people feel when they get tired, they get weak or get sick, they just stop moving in their purpose or their ministry. Yet the Word of God says to worship God with all of our strength. All of our strength. Everybody said it takes energy. 2 Kings 19:3 says, this is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the point of birth and there's no strength to deliver them. There's no strength to deliver them. So often, because people misunderstood that you have, God uses clay vessels, energy, our muscles, our strength, our ability to do things, that some people stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning doing just whatever instead of sitting there getting some rest in their body. They don't invest anything in their body to be able to strengthen it, make it stronger. God will call you to do things that your body just can't handle unless you strengthen it. And it literally is almost like a hammer beating your body every single day if you don't build something up in your body. Does that make sense? You know, we sit there and we can eat 10,000 sweets and 10,000 salty products and all these different things like that. And all of a sudden, we pay the consequences physically for doing that. We pay the consequences for doing that. And so you have to prepare yourself. I know that if I'm going to go minister somewhere, I'll watch what I eat before I minister because it will take me down. That'll just drop off like a dead rock almost, some of the things that you could eat. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong. Everybody say that. Isn't that interesting? He said, be strong. Not just be courageous, but be strong. What does that mean? That means it's going to take some energy to do the will of God. It's going to take some strength. You know, we need to get a mindset again. And I'm getting this mindset myself. I'm saying, Lord, I've got to do something with my body. If I'm going to do what you've called me to do, something's got to happen with my body. I've got to get stronger and begin to focus on that. It's got to be one of my foundational things in my life that's going to bring to pass the destiny of God in my life. So often, you know, from a Pentecostal standpoint or charismatic standpoint, we just think God's going to drop something in our lap. Listen, it would kill us if he drops it in some of our laps. Oh, I'm worn out. What'd you do? I sat in that chair all day long. My back's killing me. We got to have strength. And what's that mean? If you're fixing to go to boot camp, let me tell you what I did. When I was fixing to go to boot camp in the military, I started rehearsing things. You know what I'm saying? I started going to run a little bit, cut my hair a little bit shorter, at least trying to fit in a little bit, you know. Well, if you believe that God's about to do something in your life and you believe he's using you, you believe you got destiny and purpose, you're going to begin to prepare yourself. You really are. It's amazing. You know, some people, they don't prepare their bodies. You could pray for 10 more people, but you couldn't pray for those 10 because you were physically worn out by the time you got there. It takes strength to move in your purpose. Yeah, the Word of God says the Lord is our strength. The Lord is the strength of his people, but he gives us wisdom to be able to maintain it. It makes a difference. The older you get, you realize that it does matter what you eat. Lord, I eat the wrong thing when I knock somebody's head off. That's not a good thing. I don't eat salt meat anymore. That's not a good thing at all. I was sitting there, ate at a men's breakfast years ago, and it was just wonderful. Oscar's restaurant had this wonderful piece of fried salt meat. I was like, oh, this is so good. Then it started going to the pores of my body and the nervous system, thinking, I think I was possessed. Okay, I'm going to kill somebody. I just feel this. And I think, my goodness. It made a difference what I was putting into my body. I had to make a choice. Am I going to put that in my body? Because it's going to stop my ability to bear fruit, to be able to do what I'm called to do. And everybody at the table agreed that I shouldn't do that anymore. What? The Word of God tells us in Luke 10:27, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your strength. With all of your strength. Listen, there's some big purposes that are in your life, and the enemy's stealing them because you're not focusing on these first two things I'm talking about. Getting some peace in your life and refusing to step outside that prayer closet or that room that you're all by yourself until you step out, that you refuse to step out until you get that peace in your life, and realizing it's going to take some power. Not just Holy Ghost power. It's going to take some power from your biceps, your triceps, your back muscles, your brain, all that stuff. It's going to take some of that to do it. I don't know why God uses these vessels, but he does. The powerful move of God was stopped. The Welsh revivalists. The move of God was stopped because he didn't get any rest for his body. He just stayed up all the time, just constantly stayed up. And the enemy stopped that revival. What's that mean? It means turn off the TV like around 4 in the morning at least. No. It might mean just cut some cable off of it. If that was drawing you constantly to the just keeping you awake, keeping you awake, keeping you awake, cut that stuff out. You'd be surprised how much time you have when you don't have that. Nehemiah 8:10 lets us know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want some strength in your life, you've got to bring some joy in your life. If all your time you're just sitting back and you're always serious and you're not, you know, I love to laugh. Laughter to me is just, I just love to laugh. I love to laugh loud, I love to laugh long, I just love it. And everybody else don't love that, but I love that. But it gives you strength. I remember this one particular lady that came to the revival at Brownsville years ago when it first started. She came to make in front of the revival. And of course, everybody made in front of her when she fell on the floor and started rolling. Anyway, and God touched her. When God started to touch her, she was sitting on the floor and she was kind of heavy, real heavy. So, and she began to laugh and laugh. And laugh, and laugh, and laugh. And the more she got prayed for, the more she laughed. And this is not something she wanted to do. She was coming to make fun of the manifestations of God. And she was the biggest manifestation there. And then afterwards, she was testifying that I just needed strength in my body. I needed strength. I needed energy. I was so under attack with those things that make you, they got all kinds of names for it. She just sat there and laughed for hours. And just strength just came into her body. Look to your neighbor and say, laugh a little bit more. Laugh a lot. I mean, laugh. If you hadn't laughed in a long time, you don't have much strength. There's nothing like laughing, is there? Nah, every single one said, amen. That's right. You need to laugh a little bit more. You're a little too serious. What does that mean? That means if you really believe what God says, that you've been predestined and you have a purpose in your life and there's a destiny in your life and you're actually training up for something that you're going to get peace in your life because he's the one that's leading you into this destiny. And the second thing you're going to do, you're going to get some strength and some energy and quit thinking that God's going to drop it in your lap. It matters what you're eating. It matters what you're doing. If you're not doing anything physically at all, your body is going to steal your destiny from you. Flag football, I don't know, right? I'm serious. We've got to, every one of us, we've got to begin to focus on that. Because I want to go all the way. I want to be able to say, Greg and his generation fulfilled the purposes of God. I want to be able to say to the Lord, God, I brought glory. Father, I brought glory to you on earth because I completed all that you called me to do. It's so much easier to get that peace when you realize it's not for you, it's for your destiny. Because your destiny with God will have to do with affecting other people, not with yourself. And then it's so much easier to do something to get power in your life, to get energy, to not fall short of being able to push that baby out at the last moment when you realize you're not trying to get energy and do some sort of exercise or something just for you so you can look better. You're doing it because you want strength. You want to be able to pray for those 10 more people. You want to be able to go one more city, one more nation, one more thing. It changes your whole perspective. And the final part is purpose. If you were cornered right now and somebody had a gun at your head, could you even quote your purpose? Do you even know why you're here? Do you even know why you're here? Think about it. How are we ever going to get to the place we're supposed to be? We don't even know where we're going. Oh, yeah, you're busy, but like I said, if you had a gun at your head, could you even tell them where you were going, what you were doing? I'm trying to find myself. There you are, right there. If you're looking for something to live for, you first have to have something to die for. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You're not ready to live for anything until you're ready to die for something. I'm telling you, there's nothing that you're going to die for other than the purposes of God in your life. And there's nothing like it. You know, all these little artificial frilly things they have out there to be able to give people that little feeling. There's nothing like trusting God. You feel that all the time when you're stepping out in bold faith. John G. Lake was told this on the ship. He's about to step out in Africa. He says, the guy walks up, he had no money. The guy gives him some money. He says, listen, if God has told you to do something, step out in bold faith and God will meet you there every single time. Not bold reasoning. Bold faith, confidence in God. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Listen, before your feet even touched the ground, God had a purpose in mind for you. He had a destiny in mind for you. And he says, few people enter into the kingdom of God. Few people enter into that destiny, even though it's there, because they don't have this wisdom that I'm telling you about. They don't realize it's going to take some physical effort. It's going to take some endurance. It's going to take, when you don't feel like it, you still do it. When everything is coming in to steal your focus, you're writing it on the wall, you're writing it on a piece of paper, you're talking it so that people, when they know you by your purpose. In case you forget, they can tell you who you are. You want to be known by your purpose, your destiny. So he says, before your feet even touch the ground, that God was had your purpose and your destiny in mind for you. That's exciting. You know what? He's no favorite of persons. He will do that for anybody. He'll say, are you ready for your purpose to come out? Are you ready to move into your destiny? Begin to believe me. Begin to step out. 2 Samuel 7:3, Nehemiah tells King David, he says, go, do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you. When the Lord is with you, you just crank it up. Just let it rip. You don't need to consult with anybody. I mean, it's just in your heart. It's in your heart to do. When the Lord is with you, and it lines up with the Word of God, and you know you're not deceived, because you can just look at the Word of God and find if you're deceived. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you're wrong. Simple. It's not that hard. You don't need a meeting with a pastor. If it says left and you're going right, you're wrong. Look at this. He said, do all that's in your heart to do because the Lord is with you. Listen, if the Lord is with you, let it rip. Just let it rip. Think about it. If like four people went out and went hog wild doing what God called them to do. Mother Teresa did. They still talking about her today. Right? Benny Hinn did. Catherine Kuhlman did. Oral Roberts did. A.A. Allen did. John Kilpatrick did. Are you just going to read about them? Or are you going to be somebody that steps out in your purpose? I don't know what to do. Listen, it's in your heart to do it. You keep looking for something else, but that thing you do naturally, as you begin to do it, it will begin to produce even more. And when you're faithful in the little things, the few things, God will give you more things. It just grows and it just builds. Literally, I can tell you, and Pat can testify to it as we go out, every single step that we do things, there's a wall there. There's always a wall there. It's way beyond our intellect. It's way beyond our ability. But every time we just go to that wall and go boom, 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 it just busts through. Oh, you're just good at that. No, I just run into walls and trust God. Pastor John Kilpatrick will tell you, he bumped into the presence of God. It was by accident as he walked to the back of the church one night by himself and he was praying. He just bumped into the Holy Spirit. Why? He was just faithfully doing what he was called to do. Bam! Just happened. I don't know if I should trust my heart. Listen, Proverbs 29:11. Don't worry about it, because many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. I don't know. Listen, you're not, you know, I know you feel like you're in control, but you're really not. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans. Everybody say plans. The plans I have for you. What are you doing if you're not moving in the purposes and the destiny? God's got plans in mind for you. He's got all kinds of things in store for you. Listen, he may want to start working miracles and signs and wonders through you. He might want to raise you up to be able to adopt 10 or 20 children. He might want you to be a pastor of a church, an evangelist. He might want you to be a business person that has the ability to franchise 20 or 30 different stores or concepts. He may have to, you know, well, I don't know what it is. But God does, and before your feet hit the ground, he knew what it was. And it's in there, and the fear is keeping you from stepping out in it. But let me tell you something. If you'll start, not with purpose, but you'll start with peace, and you'll get some power, when that purpose is revealed to you, you'll have some peace that you're not fearful about it, and you have some power to be able to fulfill it in your life. He tells us in Habakkuk 2:2-3, he says, listen, he says, write down the vision, write down the purposes, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that you can herald it and you can run with it. Listen, this is how I always am. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've given you a vision. I've given you a purpose. Begin to write it down. Everywhere you go, if anybody hangs around me at all, you know I write it down. I put it on signs. I write it on TV commercials. I write it on radio commercials. I tell them, no, you cannot have that ad unless you say Malachi 4, 5, and 6 at the end of it. Why? Because that will not return void. I don't care what you said in the beginning of it, but at least put the word out. Everywhere you go, just begin to write your vision. Write your vision. And he says, write it down. Listen, he knows the plans he has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What does that mean? Begin to trust that thing God's put inside of you. Begin to write it out and make it plain. He says, for this revelation, this purpose awaits for its appointed time. It speaks to the end and it won't prove false. And it will linger for a little while, but let me tell you something. It'll come to pass if you begin to move in it, because it's your destiny. It's your purpose. It's your unique purpose. It's not riding the coattails of somebody else's purpose. You may have a purpose inside of a purpose, that without that your purpose, it wouldn't come to pass. For example, a lung inside of a body has a purpose inside the heart with the other organs in the body. They all work together. We're one body. But without you moving in your function, it wouldn't work. One good example is I always talk to people not plugged into church. They sit there and say, well, you know, I went there and I just didn't know, so I've been out of church for like 90 days or something like that. I said, well, you're looking at it wrong. He said, each of us are different parts in the church. We're different parts. And you're just showing up to get something from that church. But he says, some are lungs, some are hearts, some are whatever organs, some are eyes. He said, I said, what if you're a foot? I'm not talking about they can get what you can get from them, but what they need from you. Maybe that ministry is walking with one foot because you won't follow the purposes of God in your life. Maybe they're limping along because they're waiting for that foot to arrive. And you say, well, you know, I just need a little bit longer. Maybe you're another lung, and maybe there are difficulties of breathing. It's just really tough. I got a new word. We always look at it from the wrong, you know, what can I get from this? But sometimes it's like, God, what do you want from me to be here? I have something inside of me that I need to deposit in what you're doing to fulfill your purposes in this life, in my life, the destiny that you have for me and have for what you're doing. And what we do when we begin to enter into that purpose and that destiny with the peace and the power to fulfill it, listen right here. In Colossians 3:23, he says, whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working unto the Lord. What does that mean? That means don't second guess it. Go take another class. Think about it a little bit more. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, the Holy Spirit seems so confused compared to a lot of believers when they say, you know, he's always getting a new word. I know he gave me this word yesterday, but I got another one. Oh, Lord, are you that upset? That confused? No, he's not confused. God's not confused. God says it. He means it. He doesn't change his mind. Isn't that cool? God's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would what? Change his mind. And so when you find that purpose, what God has put inside of you, begin to work it. Work it with all of your heart, with all of your strength, working unto the Lord, not unto men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Isn't that awesome? A great reward from God. Not from man. Men won't reward you. Men will shoot you down. If you start moving in your destiny, people just line up and say, oh, by the way, I hate you. I don't like you. I'm leaving you. It's over. Bang. Boosh, all that kind of stuff. But your reward from God is awesome. If you're looking to man to give you a reward, you know, it just don't work. But God, he says, listen, he said, Hebrews 11:6, he says, God rewards those who diligently seek him, who diligently begin to seek their destiny and move in their purposes in God. Peace, power, and purpose will propel you into your destiny. You don't leave that place until you get peace. I don't care what they say, because they'll be beating on your doors trying to come in there. But listen, they don't want you without peace anyway. They don't. Get your peace. Begin to do something. I don't care if it's like you get up in the morning and you do some neat bins. I mean, I don't care what it is. Just something that you're actually showing some effort towards God, and God will supernaturally touch your body and begin to give you strength. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's just something that you're saying, God, I want strength for the purposes in my life. I want some energy in my life. I want some endurance in my life. God, I don't want to miss out on praying for 10 more people just because I did whatever or didn't do whatever. And it will propel you into your destiny. What does that mean? That means you start every single day on purpose. Not by accident or because it's Monday and I got to start it. No, you start it on purpose. That means when you sit down and you begin to define your day because you've already got your peace, you've already done something in your life to be able to give you some strength, you don't leave that place, that planning place, till you begin to make your plan and make it plain, right? Write your vision, make it plain. Write it on paper so you can herald it. If you can't say where you're going, nobody else can either. If you call yourself a leader and nobody's following, you're just merely taking a walk. So that means when you start that Monday, when you walk out of that planning area, when you sat down and you took some notes, maybe you have a planner and you wrote some things in your planner, you know where you're going that day. You know what you're going to accomplish. And you're going to find out what matters most in your life, and that's what you're going to do that day. But let me tell you something. If you jump out of your bed, you throw your clothes on, and you run out of that house without peace, without power, without purpose, you're a devil's puppet. He's going to have a heyday on you, and he might even use you to have a heyday on somebody else. But because you have your peace, and because you have your power, and because you know your purpose, your peace and your power will propel you into your destiny. That's how simple it is. It's that simple. Listen, if you start your day without peace, but you did something physically for power and purpose, I don't care what you accomplish in life. If you ain't got peace, it's miserable. It's just miserable. It really is. But if you got your peace, but you don't have power, but you know your purpose, you're miserable. You're just worn out. You're looking at this awesome goal at the end of this rainbow, and you don't have a physical enough strength to birth that baby and bring that ministry or that business out. You're just worn slap out. And if you have peace, and you have power, which a lot of believers have that, but they're doing nothing with their life. They don't have any purpose, no vision. And I heard, without vision, you die. That's what it says. The Word of God says, without vision, you perish. But somehow we take that out. He says, you die without vision. The church doesn't have vision. Their vision is like a Sunday school class, or their vision is just another lesson, another thing to be taught. But God's vision is to literally to conquer the enemy's kingdom and to take it by force and to begin to free people from the grave and begin to wake up sleeping, sluggard, slothful men that the enemy has literally hampered and pulled them out of the places of the home because they're with the strong men that the enemy's trying to bind to rob that entire household. That's what God wants to do, stuff like that. Without vision, you die. Even with peace, even with power, you can be looking like Hercules, and you can die because you don't even know where you're going. There's an awesome book out right now called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. I encourage you to get the book and begin to read that over a 40-day period. It begins to every day has a little bit of reading for every single day. It's just little short readings. By the end of that 40-day period, it probably changed your life. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. And what an awesome thing, if everybody even listening to this, that you would take this and say, listen, stop it. Knock it off. Quit it. Stop doing all these excuses and justifications for not moving and what God has called you to do. And begin to believe God. Listen, whatever you're doing is what you're believing. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. Say that. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. James said that. He said, faith without works is dead. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. If you want to find out what you believe, look what you've been doing. If you believe that your job is it, that's what you're doing. That's it. I got to go to work. Well, that's what you believe. You believe that your job is it. And it might be it for you. Whatever you're doing is what you're believing. Do you know what? If you'll just believe God for fulfilling that destiny, that purpose in your life, you'd be surprised what would happen. I mean, this is exciting stuff. It really is. Imagine starting your every day on purpose. Every day, you started on purpose. Every week, you started on purpose. Listen, our entire life is summed up by two simple dates on a tombstone, the day you're born, the day you die. Everything happens in between that. David knew what it took to fulfill the purposes of God and his generation during that timeline. Most people don't. Most people just justify why we're not going to. But I want to be one that says, God, I've completed the work that you give me. I've completed the work. I've fulfilled the call. I don't care. I mean, the calls are huge, by the way. They're very huge. But it doesn't matter anymore. When you got the peace, it just doesn't matter anymore. You're doing it for the Father.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.